There is something about that name, that's for sure. Matthew chapter 4 is our scripture topic for this morning, verses 12 through 23. When Jesus heard that John the Baptist, had been put in prison, he returned to Galilee, leaving Nazareth. He went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah, "Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, the way to the sea along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of shadow of death, a light has dawned." From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." And as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, and they were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. And Jesus called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. Indeed, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and the people brought to him all who were ill of various diseases, those suffering from severe pain, the demon-possessed, and those having seizures, the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. May God add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. In studying the scripture lesson, and actually both of these lessons, particularly from Isaiah's prophecy, we learn that God had a plan that Christ was enacting, that we, as we celebrated Advent and now Christmas and Epiphany, we see that God's plan was revealed to the prophets, that the prophets wrote about it hundreds and hundreds of years before Christ ever was born in Bethlehem. And we realize and we know that God does not do things accidentally, that God does have a plan, and that often God will have a template of how things are to work. If you read your Bible, you notice that there are certain patterns jump out. That God has a special heart, for example, for women who are childless. In both the Old Testament and the New Testament, women who get up in years and have never had a child, suddenly, by God's grace, they have a baby. God has a template, and he likes things to follow his plan. And it reminded me of the templates that we use, like the ones on our computer. If you want to write a particular letter, if you want to do, as I showed the children, a resume, there's a ton of templates out there that you can apply to that, and that makes the job a lot easier. You can type your information straight into a format, and it'll present it in the best possible way. There are templates for business letters, invoices, estimates, and all the other business uses. In woodworking, I know there are templates that you can use to cut out a certain form if you need repeated numbers of any particular item. Lawyers depend on templates for legal forms. Templates are useful in producing a uniform product in industry. all kinds of workers, woodworkers, metal workers, clothing manufacturers, use templates. And there are other templates around us, some that we don't even recognize. Think about the scouting programs in our community. Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts. I'm more familiar with the Boy Scouts now because Don and Les have been doing a good job of advocating for our young men who are in the scouting program. And I think about all the years that they have dedicated to this. I wonder how many boys have been influenced and their lives been set on a more positive course because they followed the template of the scouting program. Back in West Virginia, when I was a pastor there, I had one younger man who was a professional in his community, but gave his life to promoting the scouting template. He brought 27 boys to the Eagle Scout status. Now, if you know what an Eagle Scout is, it's a hard-earned honor. It takes a lot of encouragement and work to bring a young man through that. That's just one of the templates that we sort of take for granted that's around. It's a template that helps young men develop into good citizens to contribute positively to our society. Now, we Presbyterians are not without our own templates. Did you know that? The constitution of our church, our book of confessions, and our book of church order are nothing more than templates to help us guide church life, to help us guide our spiritual life. The book of order is a template to guide and assist the church on decision making and procedures that are necessary for carrying out its ministry and its mission in the world. You ever think of it that way? It's a template. Now, having said all that, glory to the templates and how great they are, you got to be careful with them. Because God did not intend for us to be cookie-cutter Christians. He gave us all these specific gifts and specific experiences in our lives to put them to work in the way that He wants us to do. I got a little story about how that works. There's a story of a Presbyterian minister and two elders. They were on a mission trip to a troubled third world country. They were captured there by a group of rebels. The rebels were holding them for ransom, but unfortunately they kidnapped the wrong ministers, the minister and elders, because there was no ransom money to be paid. So their captors scheduled them for execution by firing squad. And the three gathered in prayer in their little hut where they were put. They overheard the firing squad talking. And one of the things that they realized was, these must be the most gullible people we've ever heard of. Superstitious and not very bright. So they decided they would use that information and form a template to get them out of the situation. So when the executions began, the first man was dragged out. He was put against the wall of the hut, and the firing squad commander shouted, "Ready, aim," and the first elder cried out, "Earthquake!" And the firing squad panicked and scrambled for cover, allowing that elder to run off into the jungle. By the time they realized that there was no earthquake, he was gone. So they pulled the second elder out in front of the firing squad. And once again, the commander cried out, "Ready, aim," and the second elder cried out, "Volcano!" And once again, the firing squad ran for cover. And once again, the elder ran into the jungle. A search was made, but the elder could not be found. So finally, the firing squad brought the pastor up. He was worried. The template had worked twice, Could he pull it off a third time? What word is he going to use? He needed to shout something more immediate than an earthquake or a volcano, something that would strike fear immediately. So it came to him, just as the commander said, "Ready, aim," the pastor cried out, "Fire!" You do have to be careful about templates. You have to be careful how you follow them. But there are some templates we can discern from this morning's scripture lessons. I want to list some of the characteristics first from Isaiah 49. First of all, take note that Isaiah tells us that God called us from the womb, and God named us. God gave me the sharp sword of God's word. God made me a select arrow in God's quiver. Wow, do you ever think of yourself that way? You are a select arrow of God. He pulls it out of his quiver and he shoots you into South Boston, Virginia to fulfill God's will and God's purposes for where you are. God said, "In you I will show my glory, and you will be a light to the nations, bringing salvation to the ends of the earth." You know what I take from that? God has designed us and gifted us individually to bring salvation to the ends of the earth, to make a difference in this world, to change the world, just as our Lord and Savior changed the world. Now, Jesus presents another aspect, or another template, if you will. Again, he makes it clear that in the birth of Jesus, his name, his identity, and his mission were all preordained before his birth. Every Advent we celebrate it, right? All of the prophecies about Jesus, hundreds and hundreds of years before he was born. Jesus himself is identified in the Old Testament as the arrow that God sent into the world to bring God's glory, love, and light into the darkness. In our lesson this morning, we see that Jesus, after his baptism and temptation, has been alone in the wilderness. Just before this particular scripture lesson, for 40 days he did not eat, and he was tempted by the devil. He came out of that experience, that ordeal, if you will, and he hears about John the Baptist's arrest. So he left Nazareth. He settled in the seaside town of Capernaum. You wonder, why Capernaum? But there was a method. There was a reason. There was a plan. There was a template, if you will. Jesus came to this place because it was a place darkened by not knowing the love of God. The arrival of Jesus was a great light entering their darkness. You notice that this place, the seaside town of Capernaum, Galilee, and land of Naphtali, were mentioned in both scripture lessons today. Because what happened, the reason Jesus chose Capernaum was because it had been invaded by the Assyrians, of course, in the way back in the history of Israel. And every believing Jew was removed from that area. Every believing Jew was taken away. And in that vacuum, of course, Gentiles moved in and took over their homes and their farms, etc., etc. So it was indeed a place of darkness. These people didn't know God. They didn't. There was a very small group of Jews that were left there, and their little light could not even touch the darkness. So Jesus decided to bring his light to the place where there was most darkness, He made it his headquarters. But all of his ministry came from there and went from there. Why would he do that? In order to have the maximum effect. And why did he do that? He wanted us to understand that you can't be a light when it's a light outside, right? You have to go to where the darkness is. Now, second thing I want to point out here, that Jesus had been alone. But in this case, he is not alone for long. He called Andrew, Simon Peter, James, and John. He said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." They left their boats, they followed him, and together they began the ministry that changed the world. If they haven't rewritten this history books that far, you will notice that this little group of fishermen changed the world. They went out from that little place in Galilee, that little darkness, and they went out into the darkness of the outer darkness of the world. They were not standardized cookie cutters, were they? They were each individuals, and they were each individually gifted for their role in God's plan. And so, we can take from this that we have a template that we can follow for the Christian life. First of all, it's important for us to realize and to know that God has called each and one of us and knew us and named us before we were ever born. You were God's from the get-go, in other words. That God's will has been revealed to us in God's word and through the person of Jesus. Third, God prepares each one of us individually and makes us his choice arrow and joins us in the fellowship of his church, his beloved. And we are alone, never again. Finally, as a member of Jesus Christ and a member of Christ's church, you bring your unique light and the light of Christ into the darkness of the world. You fulfill your calling as you demonstrate God's mercy, forgiveness, and salvation, and eternal and abundant life. And through these things, as powerless as you think you might be, you can change the world, just like those fishermen of old. I want to go back just in history just for a minute, because I came across this and I think it's so powerful. Saint Bonaventure, if you read any of his writings, his theology is a theology, I think, for today. Because remember, we've talked about it in the past, that the church has gotten the bad reputation of being all about judgment, that we judge other people when they come through our doors, that we judge one another, that we are under the judgment of a mean, angry God. Bonaventure said, no. Bonaventure said that history itself and our personal histories are a slow but real emergence and evolution into an ever-grading consciousness of the always renewed life, resurrection life, and always necessary and resented pushback, which we call loss and suffering, or the cross that we bear, if you will, that we are incarnated just as Jesus was incarnated, as daughters and sons of God, who has inspirited us by the power of the Holy Spirit, given us temples of the Holy Spirit, and our direction, our final direction, our final imprint on this world is positive, and it's inevitable because he knew us while we're being still formed in our mother's wombs. He prepared us as a choice arrow to bring light to wherever we are. To him be the glory. Amen.